Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 10 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Jim Biscardi, and with me today, as always, is Christian Hoffer. Megan Peters is not here because she is at Anime Expo as we speak. She is in the air flying. To replace her, we have, for those of you watching on video, Detective Pikachu is my co-chair sitting in the studio. Christian is wearing a really cool Charizard shirt that I tried to make a quick comment before we started recording, and then I realized I was muted. So, Christian, I think that's a very cool shirt.
Thank you. I got it at the North American Championships.
Oh, nice.
So you can purchase the shirt at PokemonCenter.com.
Excellent. So A Wild Podcast Has Appeared is a weekly show, comes out every Thursday, and we talk about Pokemon everything. Stuff, games, console, Go, the anime, the manga, stuff happens in there, trading card games, you name it. If it's got that Pokemon logo slapped on it, we're talking about it. And this, the show is broken out in two ways. We do a few little quick hit news items in the first half, and then we go into a usually a fairly at times controversial deep dive pick, or we just dive a little bit deeper into the biggest news of the week. A lot of fun stuff this week. To kick it off, I want to go with probably the biggest news of the week that we'll talk a bit more potentially a little bit later. The Pokemon Company responded to the cries of the Pokemon fanboys about the National Pokedex. Christian, yes. What did they say?
So, just to recap, if you've been following the podcast, you know this already. Pokemon Sword and Shield will not include every single Pokemon in the franchise. They made the decision that they will not have the National Pokedex in this game, and that only Pokemon that are in the regional Pokedex, the regional Galar Pokedex, can be transferred into the game. A lot of fans were not happy about this.
No.
It's gotten kind of ridiculous. Like, if you go to any social media page the Pokemon has, all the comments will be filled with hashtag bring back the National Pokedex. And so Junichi Masuda, who is the director of Game Freak, responded by saying, "Thank you to all of our fans for caring so deeply about Pokemon. Recently, I shared the news that some Pokemon cannot be transferred to Pokemon Sword and Shield. I've read all your comments and appreciate your love and passion for Pokemon. Just like all of you, we are passionate about Pokemon, and each and every one of them is important to us. After so many years of developing the Pokemon video games, this was a very difficult decision for me. I'd like to make one thing clear. Even if a specific Pokemon is not available in Pokemon Sword and Shield, that does not mean it will not appear in future games." And then it concludes with saying, "The world of Pokemon continues to evolve. The Galar region offers new Pokemon to encounter, trainers to battle, and adventures to embark on. We are pouring our hearts into these games, and we hope you will look forward to joining us on this new journey."
So that last line, not the last line, the last line of the first part that you read about, you know, just because they're not in this game doesn't mean that, you know, they don't exist anywhere. That's a weird line, right? Like, in the sense where it's just like, I don't think anyone was thinking that, like, if it wasn't in the game, it was never coming back.
Yeah.
But
so, I mean, yeah, I don't think that was a problem that a lot of people were looking at, but it did kind of tie into something that got brought up by the fan base earlier this week. I forget exactly when it was, either over the weekend or earlier this week. Glammeow and Puruglu, which are Pokemon that first appeared in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, have never appeared in any other regional Pokedex besides the Sinnoh Pokedex. Mm-hmm. And that's 14 years in between games. And so people are pointing out, like, okay, you know, and that's an extreme example about a Pokemon that, frankly, not a lot of people care about.
That until now, someone was like, "Hey, what about Glammeow?"
Yeah. So, you know, I think they're kind of trying to address, you know, I think that they're their concerns, what the Pokemon Company feels fans are concerned about isn't what fans are actually concerned about. They don't, you know, I think that everyone realizes that, you know, if 100 Pokemon don't appear in this game, they're going to appear in the next one. That's not what the problem is. This is something else.
But is this, like, to me, this statement feels like a company that's a little out of touch.
Yeah.
In that, like, yes, they acknowledged sort of this outcry. I don't think that statement helped any one bit quell any concerns, anger, or whatnot. And so, I'm not saying they necessarily should just have ignored it, but if there was an aspect of the game that was not previously revealed, like, I feel like that should have been the, well, okay, you won't be able to do this, but here's how we're going to incorporate something. Like give a little bit more, because I think right now there's a lot of the aspects of the game that are still so shrouded in secrecy, and rightfully so. Like, you know, they want to preserve a bunch of surprises for the game and things like that. But I feel like this would have been an opportunity for the Pokemon company to be like, well, okay, but here's this.
Yeah, this is a situation in which I think they weren't expecting this amount of outcry. And frankly, I just don't think they know what to do here. This is a situation that the Pokemon company is not really used to. And, you know, let's be clear here. Even though, like, the Pokemon franchise is, you know, quite possibly the biggest video game franchise, if not the biggest entertainment franchise on the planet, Game Freak, the company, only consists of about 140, only 140 employees. This is a small company. And I think they're kind of used to just coasting on their well-earned success here.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was something even in the news that didn't Game Freak come out and say that, like, they're also going to start focusing on non-Pokemon stuff?
Yeah, yes and no. So that, that comment's kind of misinterpreted. So Game Freak has two production teams. They have their A team and their B team. And while their B team is continuing to work on the Pokemon franchise, their A team is currently working on another project. And so that A team is usually the one who they were the ones who were developing, you know, like, the new generations of games.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not working on a Pokemon project right now. And that's a little bit of a reversal for what they usually do. But Game Freak's been known to do this from time to time. Occasionally, they'll go and have their production team just work on another game for a couple of reasons. One, it helps them learn new techniques and play with new technology. And also, it gives them a break from Pokemon. I mean, not everyone is equipped to be
deal with
in
tiny
the
pocket monsters for 10 to 15 years and as a working career.
Yeah, that would be pretty rough to work on the same thing, variations of the same thing over and over and over, day in, day out for, you know, years. So this is kind of a way to give them a break. But that statement got misinterpreted a little bit, but, you know, they said what they said.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was definitely a weird statement. I think I'm a little surprised that that people are still kind of complaining about this, because it really, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone, I mean, that's probably too far of an overthink. A large portion of the people playing the game are not going to give two issues about wanting to collect every single Pokemon, or, you know, fill out that deck. Like, that is such a small, the amount of people who will actually do it is probably such a small percentage of the players of that game that, it's kind of irrelevant. Where I see a larger audience potentially being a little bit upset is you're potentially missing out on a large opportunity to nab, say, that Pokemon Go audience, to bring them back into a more traditional type Pokemon game. And if that Pokemon Go audience has spent time and money collecting a lot of these other Pokemon that potentially won't be in the game that they would want to bring over, then they can't. Now, a lot of that is just, you know, suck it up, buttercup. But
yeah.
But at the same time, I can see where, you know, that casual, the where the transition from that casual player to potentially a diehard player, you know, where that bridge is a bit incomplete.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I get some of the disappointment. Like, I personally, when I first got back into Pokemon, one of the things that I literally spent a year doing it was collecting every single Pokemon species. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I get that mentality. I really do. But I mean, that was something I did like after I had run out of everything else to do in the game, you know, like literally in Pokemon X and Y, I had done it all. So then I started going and trying to get Pokemon, you know, via the global trade system. And yeah, like, you know, and even stuff like the Pokemon Go example, like, I think that's a valid point, but at the same time, you know, we have Pokemon Home. They're planning on doing stuff with that, to kind of keep the Pokemon that aren't currently active in the, you know, Pokemon Sword and Shield, like, something to do and to give players a chance to interact with their Pokemon and continue to interact with their Pokemon. And so I feel like that will continue to happen here in Pokemon with Pokemon Go. If you choose to transfer your Pokemon over,
right.
You'll have that option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've dwelled on that long enough. Let's move on to the trading card game.
Yeah.
Tag Team Trio?
Yes. This will be the first time. So we've had these tag team cards for about a year now. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a pair of Pokemon, but in the upcoming expansion, Unified Minds, we're going to get a tag team trio of Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. And it is a beast of a card. So its base attack can do 210 damage every single turn. For only 4 energy. Now, it takes 3 different types of energy. It takes a water energy, a fire energy, and an electric energy, which can be kind of hard to collect to build your deck around. But its GX move, which you can use once per game, does 110 damage to any Pokemon on the bench or active. And then you shuffle your Pokemon, your tag team trio card, back into your deck, which clears all damage and any other negative effects to it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
So, I mean, obviously that's going to be the card that everyone is going to want. It's possibly a very cool new card to add to the deck or to the game. How rare do you think it will be?
I mean, it'll be as rare as any other GX card, I think. Okay. So right now, I mean, it's not going to be that rare because they're planning on releasing a stained glass variant and one of their box sets. So, you know, it can't be that rare.
You'll be able to get the card.
Yeah, you'll be able to get the card. I mean, it'll cost you a bit of money to get the card if you go that route. But I don't think it'll be that rare. I think that the big drawback to it is that it requires 3 different types of energy. Which can be kind of difficult to do. There's a couple ways to mitigate that, but I think that will turn a lot of people off because it'll just take too long to build up to the point where that card can be effective.
Yeah. It's interesting. So when they introduced the tag team, like, these tag team cards are power, like, not all of them, but a good chunk of them are very strong cards.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the last year, we've gotten a lot of tag team cards and they've changed a lot of the dynamics of the playability of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something where in a year down the line, all of a sudden, or not a year down the line is probably too soon, but like, we will inevitably get a card that has every EV evolution on it?
I don't think so. I mean, we could. I mean, let's be clear. We could. I'm never going to try to predict what the Pokemon trading card game is going to do next. But I don't think they'll go that route, only because I think when the Sword and Shield expansions come out, they're going to move away from the tag team mechanic. We're going to get Dynamax, which will probably be DX or something like that. And that'll be
man. I kind of wish they hadn't already have been doing like the larger cards, because it would have been like a perfect for Dynamax.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and the Transformers trading card game.
Yep.
Has like the oversized cards that they use for the actual Transformers, and then right. they have regular size cards that you play to like give them weapons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So like when you buy a pack of Transformer trading cards, it's a huge like pack, because they have these like two like oversized cards. And I would just love if they started doing that for the Pokemon trading card. It'll never happen.
That could be really cool. But yeah, that definitely won't happen. Well, it's so funny too, because like I know there was that period of time, and I know when I was out, but they had like team card or cards that you can basically put together.
Mm-hmm.
For like one thing, that's a dynamic that also like the Pokemon Company has not really used as much for the trading card game, is the like stack your cards together to build a thing. You know, it doesn't necessarily make sense in the, because there's not an Exodia for like Yu-Gi-Oh fans that you can do with this. Or, you know, there's not like combiners in the Transformers thing where you take a bunch of different ones, but it would be cool. But the EV evolutions or something like that, where if it was a connected, like if you, there was a set of them that if you connected them all, did a cool thing, or even for some of the legendaries, right? Just like they're doing it with this card by putting the three original legendary birds onto one card, but yeah. It'd be cool if there was like even connected, like a connected art set or something, that if you got the three cards, put them all together out on the thing, it just, you know, you ran ham on whoever you're playing with. But like that's an aspect of the game that they dabbled with a little bit, but haven't really fully committed to.
Yeah.
That is something I would definitely love to see coming up.
They have had a couple of cards which have abilities where, if, you know, it's all based on like, if you have I think it was like the Regirock and Regice and Registeel,
mm-hmm.
Depending on how many of those cards you had, like, in play, their abilities stacked.
Yeah.
So those were pretty powerful. That was actually a year ago, mm-hmm. maybe 2 years ago. So I mean, I think they've continued to dabble with that. If they ever like do a Pokefusion mechanic, I think that would be kind of crazy. But I don't think the Pokemon Company will ever go there. But who knows? I didn't think we'd get kaiju-sized Pokemon, and that's what Pokemon...
Sure enough, here we got.
Yeah.
There's a number of cool things still with the Unified Mindset. 90 variants and shiny Pokemon?
Yes. So these are... they're SV cards. So they're alternate art versions of existing cards that will be released as part of the Unified Minds set. But they show the Pokemon with their shiny coloration. So they're a little bit different than the shining Pokemon that we got last year in Shining Legends, which, you know, those were defined as shiny Pokemon and they were separate cards. So this will be like, if you get your shiny Charizard in Unified Minds, it's still the same Charizard card as before. And the legality is based on whatever the legality of that older Charizard card is. Because there's a 2-year time limit on these cards. I don't know how many people know that, but like when you're building your deck, you can only use it from cards that are 2 years old or younger. There's like certain sets that you can use.
Right.
So the legality will still be based on that. So they're still technically the same card, but they're being released. And I think they're really cool. And we've never had 90 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. And we're talking like powerhouses like Charizard, Mewtwo. There's a lot. Mm-hmm. I think even like Buzzwole was in there. I think I saw one.
So does that raise the total number of cards in this set?
Yeah, I think there's only 70 or so cards that are like new cards. Plus right. there's this 90 some extra shiny cards. So I think there's a total 150. It includes Team Rocket cards too.
Oh, cool.
Jesse and James and Arbok and Weezing are all in there. And there's a couple other cards too that are neat. So this is kind of just like a hodgepodge of different things that got released over in Japan and now are being released in the US.
Nice. Yeah, it's I love what the trading card game has done over the last year or so since introducing the tag team stuff and the things that it's going there. So it's, especially for me, as someone who's been slowly coming back into the trading card game, it's exciting enough for me to be like, oh, okay, no, this is fun. And it doesn't feel like the new additions or the new things that they're adding that are potentially changing the gameplay a little bit or too overwhelming.
No. So,
what was that?
No, it's nice. There's no power creep with these cards.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, if you collected Pokemon cards as a kid, played, you know, and haven't played in a while, now is really the time to get back in. So I would definitely, you know, if you've got a little bit to extra money laying around, you want to try getting back into it, do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, new figures coming out. 120 scale or 120th,
I guess. So Bandai, right, say that? Yeah, I think it's, 120th. I mean, because it's 1/20th of their actual size.
Yeah.
Bandai is releasing a new set. It's all Gen 1 characters. So in addition to Red, Blue, Green, and Professor Oak, there's also like 20 or so Pokemon on there. And they look freaking fantastic. I mean, these are extremely tempting to buy them all. And like,
why don't you go through the list of who we've got in this first set?
Let's see here if I can pull it up. So we've got Mewtwo, Mew, all three starters and their full evolutions. We got Porygon, Arcanine, Nidoqueen, Lapras, Gengar, Clefairy, Pikachu, and Eevee. Nice, so they're going to be released in like box sets. And each box is going to cost like $80 a pop.
Oh my god. But so how many are coming in a box?
They said, I think it looks like contains, it says 10 boxes of figures with 6 guaranteed to give you the full set.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea what that's supposed to mean, but it looks like you're going to have to buy at least 6 boxes to get everything. So I think they're releasing some, like, so if you want all the Bulbasaur and evolutions, you can buy that, or you can get Ash, or not Ash, Red and his Pokemon, because I think there's only one of his Pokemon that's not in the set of Snorlax, of his signature Pokemon, because we got Lapras, you got Pikachu, and you got the three starters there. I appreciate the fact they have Green in there.
He's like the forgotten character.
Forgotten
character.
Yeah, you know, well, One of the cool things that I saw when I was looking at these figures is that they actually did the there's a piece of concept art which shows Red, Blue, and Green standing around like a Pokeball circle, and they're all got their Pokemon standing next to them, and they recreated that with these figures, and I thought that was so awesome.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad Gengar's in there.
I saw that. I thought you were going to be pretty excited.
Megan's got her Arcanine in there, so that's good.
Yeah.
You've got Porygon's your Bulbasaur.
Porygon's the only one that's kind of like, it's like a sore thumb. Like, all the other ones, like, oh, yeah. Like, you know.
Porygon's got this weird, every time he shows up somewhere, I just think to myself, why? Like,
yeah.
But he's got this weird fan base that clearly keep buying up a bunch of Porygon stuff because Porygon keeps showing up in a bunch of merch.
I think maybe it's because he's like the forbidden fruit because, you know, us US fans never got to experience Porygon in the anime.
That's true.
Because that was true. The infamous seizure episode. You know, they've never featured Porygon in the anime after that. So I think that's a big part of it. Because, you know, I say this with all due respect to Porygon. It's a fluff Pokemon. There's no point to it.
And it's not good, really.
Yeah, it's an irrelevant Pokemon. I mean, I don't even think that, you know, I kind of want to say that, you know, Porygon Z has a little bit of usefulness in like the metagame, or at least it did for a little while, but you know, that was totally because of move versatility.
But the most interesting thing about Porygon is the thing that they just forever not touch, and the fact that he's just like, you know, he was a man-made
thing. Yeah. Yeah, he's not actually a Pokemon. He's a Pokemon.
Yeah. Like, he's not real.
Yeah, I kind of wanted, like, you know, like, you know how there's all the controversy about, like, artificially created embryos and, you know, all that stuff, you know, in scientific communities? I wonder if there was, like, a similar debate when, like, Porygon got created. Like, look, I have this artificial Pokemon, and all the other professors were like, whoa! You cannot do that!
and then that professor is just shunned into obscurity, and he just starts leading a dark organization. And see, that is a whole area that has not even been discovered or even thought about. That would be amazing. You know, we're talking about like doing something a bit on the more adult side of a Pokemon live action type of thing. That's the story I want to see.
There you go. Give us the origin story of Porygon. That's going to be the next Pokemon movie. God.
All right. So I think, we did want to touch on one last thing before we go into our deep dive. Pokemon Go Fest.
Yes. Coming up. There's another one this weekend. So it starts July 4th, which will be our release date. Mm-hmm. So this time it's held in Dortmund. There'll be kind of like the same thing that happened last month, where there'll be a global challenge. This time I believe we're trying to get, it's the same thing. You got to get 46 million research challenges completed. Mm-hmm. And if people do that, we'll get an Entei field research day.
I like Entei. Anyway.
Yeah, he's a nice Pokemon. He was always one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was very cat-like. I was a big fan of cat-like Pokemon. I honestly felt that he should have been like the star of Pokemon Crystal instead of Suicune.
Yep, absolutely. For sure.
It should have been like Pokemon Volcano instead of... Yeah, Suicune is a lame Pokemon.
Are we getting anything special?
What, Entei?
For the July 4th weekend in the States?
No, this is what we're getting. We're getting this global research. So there'll be increased spawns of certain Pokemon. But whatever is the signature Pokemon for this Pokemon Go Fest.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't remember what it is. Maybe it's Abra or Clefairy or something like that. Mm-hmm. We might get a new shiny Pokemon. They'll pop up tomorrow. So, you know, I'll have to come in for my barbecue to go and write that up. So.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. When we get back, we got a Pokemon Masters trailer that was totally, I thought it was pretty fun and awesome. And there's a little bit more on the Sword and Shield controversy front, because nothing Nintendo can do can please you Pokemon fans, but that's okay. We'll talk about it when we get back. Okay. I loved this Pokemon Masters trailer.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, so they did the whole anime thing, which they haven't done since Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was freaking awesome. It was really cool seeing like Brock and Misty and, you know, Cynthia and Steven Stone, and seeing them all run around these trio teams. And it actually did a pretty good job of like demonstrating what the game's all about, too.
So for those who don't know, Pokemon Masters is a new game that basically brings back a bunch of all of the classic Pokemon Masters, basically, that that you know and love from all across the generations of the game. I think a lot of the biggest draw, obviously, was being able to see a lot of the Gen 1 folks, like, you know, your Brock and your Mistys and things like that. Me, I'm very excited for Lieutenant Surge, because I just love Lieutenant Surge. But it's a different style of gameplay. This is not like a Pokemon game at all. This is very, very different.
Yeah.
But
so this is going to be a real-time strategy game. So you'll have teams of three. For one thing, you don't collect Pokemon. You collect Sync Pairs. Which is a team of one trainer and one Pokemon. So you collect those, you build your team, and then it's some mad button mashing. So you have a move gauge, which continually fills up. Different Pokemon moves decrease the move gauge by a little bit. And you can also use these things called sync pairs, sync pair moves or sync moves, which are basically like Z moves, your favorite gym. And also the trainers can do things too. So it's, you know, like they showed
so
like in
throwing punches or something. Or?
I really wish it was that. Like, I would just love to see like Gary suddenly just run up and like just like sucker punch a Pokemon. Like, oh, not today, Pikachu. Just punch them. But no, they like can do like healing things and they can provide buffs and stuff like that. But so each one has their own different moves, like, you know, their own support moves, which I think is pretty interesting. So, that's like, cool. You know, not every trainer will be able to heal their Pokemon. So that factors into the strategy aspects of it.
So is this going to be like a flash in the pan type of game, or do you think this may have some longevity to it?
So I think it's going to have some longevity to it. This game reminds me a lot of a game called Dragalia Lost, which is Nintendo released, or they co-released it with Cygames, which is a different mobile publisher, but it's related to the people who are making Pokemon Masters, which is a company called DNA. So they kind of specialize in this gacha, which is, because it's kind of like a loot box style game. Your characters are randomly selected. We don't know how, but Dragalia Lost, you know, that's been really popular for a long time. Like, it's had more legs than people expected. You know, Fire Emblem Heroes is another example. That's another game that, you know, has just stayed around. It's never going to be as popular as Pokemon Go.
Right.
But then again, nothing will ever be a go.
I mean, this is a game that is clearly trading on nostalgia factor, right? So there's real currency there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm going to check it out for sure.
Yeah, I think that the big key is, one, how far can you get by being a free to play player?
Yes.
That's going to be a big deal. Like, and that's one of the things that I like about Dragalia Lost, is because Nintendo literally stepped in, because they're like, you know, you look at this game, this Dragalia Lost game. I keep comparing it to it, but it's the best example. And you can play that game and enjoy that game without spending a single cent.
See, those are the types of games I enjoy because I am cheap. But also at the same time, it's one of like I will pay for some mobile games if I feel it is either going to move a story along or something on that front where I feel I'm getting more than just a tactical advantage to get to higher levels of the game.
I will spend money if, one, I like the game, and two, what I spend money for, I feel like I'm getting an actual value. Like, I don't like buying like in-game currency. But like, if there's a thing where it's like, you can buy this character for like $4, like, and it's a character I like, yeah, I'll buy it. I don't have any problem doing that. Like, you know, I look at these games, I probably spend more time playing mobile games, than I do console games. So, you know, I don't mind spending a little bit of money on some of those games. And you know, as long as Pokemon Masters doesn't try to overdo it, you know, I think this will be a popular game. Like, it's made by a good mobile game company that knows what they're doing.
DNA's done one of the Marvel games, and I think it's Future Fight, but it may be. I think it's Future Fight.
Yeah, I think you're right. And they, like I said, they've released a lot of really popular games. I think they did. I'm trying to think. They've released one other really popular one that's over in Japan. Maybe it's Grand Blue, and that one's like insanely popular. So like, this is a people, like, when they announced this back like a few months ago, like, people kind of slept on this, but I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
So when does this come out?
This summer. It's you know, we will get to talk about it in the next month or two.
Nice.
Yeah, so you can look forward to some Pokemon Masters coverage on our site soon, because I'm sure that I will be doing some deep dives into it.
Excellent. lastly, before we go, this is the last bit of Sword and Shield controversy-ish that we want to bring up today. Christian is just so pained because he hates this. It has been discovered that people have that Sword and Shield will be reusing some animations from older games.
Yes. So this is ties back into there's a couple of weird ass narratives I just cursed. Prepare for a little bit more. I'll try to hold myself back. There's some weird narratives that are going on about Pokemon Sword and Shield. One of them is that Game Freak is being lazy because they're reusing animations. And they've always reused animations. Yeah.
This is a dumb argument for sure.
It really is. And so what they said was, you know, the reason we can't include every Pokemon here is we chose to concentrate on higher fidelity animation and graphics. That is not the same as saying we're going to make all new.
Completely new
animation. You know, basically, when they switched over from 3DS to Nintendo Switch, you know, the frame rates are different. You know, the quality is different. And there's actually an interview that I found that was done on a Japanese magazine in which Junichi Masuda, the director of Game Freak, he actually said that when they went to transfer like some of the models and some of these like move animations into Pokemon Sword and Shield, that they didn't transfer over right. And so they had to basically rebuild them from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they used the animations and people are like,
I think I mentioned this last week, right? Like, I think there's a lot of people where the expectation is that because this is the first Switch game, they're expecting almost an entirely new game. And I think that's unfair. It's an unfair kind of expectation because of all the mechanics that go into this kind of game. And when you see the open world aspect of, like, that is probably the biggest overhaul that we've seen in a Pokemon game in forever. And I think what we've seen in every one of these games as they've been released, you know, they've been making tweaks here and there. Some have had bigger jumps than others. This, just by the environment and the world of the Galar region, is a huge step up.
So
to expect them to like to hit everything is a bit unfair. Like now, in the next game, I would hope that type of stuff would be addressed because I would like to see more fleshed out fight animations for some of the common moves at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the issue is, and don't get me wrong, I don't disagree with you. Like, I mean, people were bringing up, I remember when they were talking about Hydro Pump, because it's got, you know, there's all these narratives going on.
Comes out of Blastoise's mouth.
Yeah, it comes out of Blastoise's mouth. And like, you know, there's little tweaks like that I really... Okay,
well, I'm not going to give them that one. The Hydro Pump should at least come out of its cannons.
So, I mean, I don't disagree, but that's not how these games are made. This is never how these games have been made. Like, and yeah, it looks stupid. It does. Like, it's one of those things where it just is what it is. I mean, we're asking Game Freak to radically change their... Like, if we were doing custom... Can you imagine if we had custom... attack animations for every single Pokemon? You know, each of these freaking Pokemon have like 20, 30 moves that they can, even more than that when you include like HMs and TMs.
Right.
And so, you know, like with the Blastoise example, like, yeah, that would be nice if it came out their gun. But, you know, think about if they decide, okay, we're going to move up this animation a little bit, you know, so it syncs up a bit. Well, now we have to go and do that for all of our other 900 Pokemon too.
Yeah. I would also like to, you know, see potentially rolled out like signature moves.
Yeah, I think that would be smart. I would agree with that. I mean, because we do have a lot of Pokemon species which have signature moves, and it would be pretty cool to see them like, okay, I'm going to use, you know, Frenzy Plant for Venusaur, and watch out, world. Like, here comes a really cool animation for it.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. I think that would be a really good step. And we kind of used to see that when, like, these moves were exclusive to one Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you did Destiny Bond with Jirachi, I think it was Jirachi, you know, you got to see an animation that you couldn't see anywhere else. I think that the key maybe is to bring back some of that exclusivity with some of these moves. And then you can spend the time giving them some like cool animations. Like I don't care if Double Kick looks lame. It's Double Kick. You shouldn't be using Double Kick. But yeah, I think it would be cool to see like, you know, like when Charizard does Fire Blast or like Overheat. Like let's see that. Like let's see these like, you know, their actual the moves that they're most associated with.
Well, I mean, even started to see a little bit of that in Let's Go, right? Where like some of the, you know, the Pikachu and Eevee moves were, you know, totally brand new animations that were adorable as all hell.
Or really freaking awesome. Like when Eevee would like cause the other Pokemon to explode and the explosion would be behind them.
That
was pretty cool. And you know, like I said, I think there's definitely some room for that. Like, I mean, my shelf is full of these gallery figures which show a bunch of these Pokemon with their signature moves, and they look freaking awesome. Like, I absolutely love the gallery figures. And I think that they could do something like that within the game. Like, you know, when Mewtwo, you know, does like you know, it's Psyball attack or Psyblast, you know, like let's see him like do like the Hadouken, you know, blast and stuff. You know, that'd be really cool. And I maybe they'll go that direction. I mean, I think that, you know, some of the complaints are valid. Like, you know, they talked about, well, they need to hire more people. Well, it's not going to do them any good now.
Right.
You know? Like if you think that
it's
like,
a little too late.
Yeah, they cannot throw money and fix this problem. They couldn't even done this back in 2017 or 2018 and fix this problem. I mean, in order for this game to be the way that fans wanted it, Game Freak would have had to like figure this out back in like 2015, 2016. I mean, that's like, you know, it takes a long time to hire good programmers.
Yep.
And it takes a long time to get those programmers like up to speed to be able to like, you know, be able to work
just
on a big project.
Get it up and running. All right, we're running out of time, so we got to get to the next and favorite part of the show. The last part of our show is Christian's Pokemon Fact of the Week. Christian, what do you got?
Okay. What unassuming Pokemon is an arsonist?
Unassuming Pokemon is an arsonist?
It is. Yes, yes. I mean, let's be clear. There are probably a lot of Pokemon that like to burn stuff. But this is one that you would not expect. It is not
like
fire.
Like Jigglypuff all of a sudden just setting stuff on fire? Or?
Yeah, it's close to that.
Who is it?
It's Drompa.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So this was a Pokemon that was introduced in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Mm-hmm. It's this like Puff the Magic Dragon, super friendly dragon Pokemon, which is like a normal type. Like, you know, people thought it was like Dunsparce's evolution. Yeah, in the Pokedex, it says, like, oh, yeah, it befriends children. But when it finds out that, you know, a child has been bullied, it will go to the bully's house and burn it down. It's like, what the heck? Like, can you imagine? Like, you know,
just accidentally leaving him out of the Pokeball and be like, oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Just burn like, down Johnny's house.
Yeah, Johnny and his entire family are dead.
Like, oh, God. Whoa.
It's Drompa. Can you just like imagine if there's just like, you know, the ultimate revenge fantasy, like your friendly dragon Pokemon is actually burning down all your enemies.
But
houses.
Like, I want to know if like if Drompa's doing it like just overtly, or is he just, you know, sort of just going to like a back corner of the house and just sort of lighting a little fire in the corner and just being like, and then just walking away.
I just kind of like wonder because I don't think Drompa has any moves that like can cause fires, so I wonder it's if it's there, like, just, you know, like, matches. You know, like, Johnny wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's, like, tied to the bed, and there's Drompa, thing of gasoline, like, pouring it, and, like, looking at him with his big, like, expressionless eyes, while getting ready to light the match. Like, that's insane.
Oh, boy. Well, that is gonna do it for us. This week on A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. Normally, we read the reviews that you give us for the show on iTunes. And if you do that and we read it on air, we generally send out comicbook.com t-shirts. But we don't have time for that this week, so we'll just do more next week. So if you like this show, tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your grandparents, tell anyone who will listen about this show, because we love interacting with you guys. We love the, you know, the support that you guys have shown us for this show. And, you know, we want, you know, this party to grow bigger. We want more people to come who are longtime fans, who may be new fans, lap fans. That's really our goal for the show, is just, you know, be that podcast, talk about Pokemon in a way that everyone enjoys. That's not super in the weeds. That's not, you know, too just surface level for, you know, the diehard fans to just be like, oh, screw this. You know, like, we take any and all of your comments very, very seriously. And for all of the reviews that we've gotten so far, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The show can be found wherever podcasts can be downloaded from. iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you name it. If you can get podcasts there, we're there. So just type in A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, and you'll find our past episodes if you're new. Or you can hit subscribe on any one of those to make sure you don't miss out on our shows every Thursday. You can find me at Twitter at Jim Viscardi. You can find Christian at
C Hoffer C Bus.
And we'll talk to you guys next time. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.